The CJOB Sports Show has returned to 2 hours in length, ladies and gentlemen. Not because live sports are back. They kind of are. There was golf this weekend. There was NASCAR. Christian O'Mell coming to you, as I have been since the early part of April, from my condominium. My cat is asleep on the chair beside me. I'll talk about his vet experience later on in the show, because we're going to get to football now. Bob Irving is with us. Bob, did you watch any of the golf on the weekend?
No, I didn't. I actually forgot about it.
Which, it wasn't great.
It wasn't, eh?
No.
What was it like without fans?
It was weird because it's four guys on a golf course. It was neat seeing them carry their own bags around wearing shorts for sure. But, yeah. You know, someone drains a nice putt and it's just silence, which we would be used to on a golf course.
Right.
Not that we ever drain nice putts, but it would definitely be something to get used to. I think we will have to get used to it.
Yeah,
we saw that with NASCAR too. But
sure,
yeah.
This whole business of all the sports talking about playing without fans is... It's kind of eerie to me. I can't imagine a hockey game or a football game without fans and the noise, the background noise, which kind of adds to the ambiance. It's hard to picture, and yet I think you're right, Christian, we're going to see it.
Absolutely, and to that point, perhaps a question we can ask our guest here for the first half hour of the CJOB Sports Show, and that is the head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Mike O'Shea. Mike, how are you doing through all this?
I'm doing great, Christian. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Bob, you're doing good, too?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I would normally be sending in some interviews from training camp at this point after day three because it was supposed to open on Sunday. And, Mike, you would, I guess, tonight typically be either having a team meeting, breaking down film, having meetings with your coaches. How much are you missing that already?
Yeah, that part's been tough. There's obviously... there's an oddness to it, right? Because you know you should be doing something else and you should be involved in something that's been a big part of your life for a long time. So you know that there's a huge difference there. It's sometimes in the morning it's a little hard to figure out what direction you're going in. But for the most part, you just you keep plugging away at the chores that you have around the house.
Well, it's such a dramatic change for people who do what you do, Mike, because, and I think most of our listeners understand, football coaches are there from early in the morning until well into the evening, 7 days a week, really, as the football season goes along. And so what a dramatic change in the way you live your daily life.
Yeah, not just for me, but for my family. So at this point, as you said, you know, us coaches would be out of the house, out of people's hair. You know, they'd be continuing on their nice, normal routine and sort of checking in every once in a while. Training camp, you know, the family would barely see you during the season. You know, you make it home for dinner a few times here and there. But so I think it's a big change for coaches' families also, and obviously players' families also too, having them around. And you hope that they see it as kind of nice and a one-off, but I'm sure they want us all back to work too.
I'm finding that the days are a little harder to fill now. The boredom sets in a little more often each day than it would have earlier as this kind of drags on. How about you? Are you getting to the point where you sit there some days and go, what am I going to do now for the next hour?
Well, today might have been one of those days. There was a lot of sitting around today. This was going to be the highlight of my day, was talking to you. We miss you, Bob. So other than that, I today was not nearly as productive as the rest of the weeks have been.
Yeah, I always joke with the rest of the media at training camp that after 3 days, I've had enough. I'm tired of it. I've been to 40-whatever training camps. I want to see a game played. But you know what, Mike? I would love to have gone to a practice today, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the weather we're having is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, this would have been your best. So tell us, in terms of the connection to the players, Mike, are you trying to stay in touch with the guys, or how are you operating in that regard?
There's... I would say, for the most part, the coaches, the position coaches, the coordinators have done a good job sort of introducing themselves to the new young guys. Of course, the quarterbacks want to be working, so they're trying to get information. But, you know, there's in terms of st- staying connected every day or whatever. It's just not, it's not how it would be done in the off season anyway.
Right.
You know, in a normal off season, you know, you leave the guys alone and they know how to prepare and they know how to get a hold of you. And, you know, there's certain guys you talk to at certain points. So try to keep it as much like that as possible. But, you know, with all the technology and everything like that, I would say that our position coaches have done a great job of, you know, introducing themselves to the new guys for sure.
You played for many, many years. Have you ever stopped to think about what you would have felt like as a player during something like this?
Well, there would have been the uncertainty, obviously. You know, the desire to play. At this point, your training program would have culminated, right? Because you sort of work back from the training camp date as to when you have to be ready for. So all your training programs would have sort of come to an end for the start of camp. So now you're going to rework your schedule with your trainer, and you probably already done it as an athlete. You would have already done that. So, but you're unsure of your start date now. So you'd just be plugging along on your training regimen. I would say that this would be odd, but I'd say in my, you know, for me personally, I probably would have driven from Toronto or Mississauga back up to North Bay. And, you know, in all honesty, I would have been sitting on my mom's dock, you know, my mom and dad's dock, and maybe doing a little fishing and training as best I could. But, yeah, it would have certainly felt odd, but I think it's quite reasonable for people, and people should find little silver linings in this, right? So you've got to make the best with what you're given to deal with. And so if it is an extra couple days on your parents' dock, or if it's some extra time with your family, those are the silver linings that we're given, and we have to see them as such.
What kind of football work here on May 19th are you able to do in a day?
Well, like I said, today was not as productive as it probably could have been. But for the most part, the offense, because they came in February, early March, their playbook is basically done. Right now, everybody, all the coaches are rewatching film of all the new players to our team. So they're picking up some different games and putting together a cut up of each guy, refreshing their minds with who each guy is and where they possibly fit. Very shortly, we'll do the same with the global draft. The defense has just finished basically a couple weeks ago, putting their playbook, final touches on their playbook. And then there's another project that the guys will do, and they'll basically scout each opponent again with some coaching changes around the league. They'll look at the different opponents and watch some game film of various opponents against us and just refresh themselves with each team that we're going to face this year, with the potential, you know, that if the season happens to be shortened, you know, how many times do you see these guys? And if it's once only, then you better make good on each of those occasions, right?
So, Mike, speculation about the season, of course, is rampant, and nobody knows how this is going to wind up. Will there be, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, 12 games? Can you start maybe a little earlier than September 1? Certainly things are looking more positive on the COVID-19 front. Will there be half a season? Will there be no season at all? All these things. Do you think about that a lot?
I don't. You know, I've said before, I have a lot of faith in our leadership, not only with the Bombers, but with the other teams. Also, the leadership in each province and federally. So I imagine that we'll be able to get something figured out. And I also do believe that the decisions that have to be made are are massive decisions, and there's so many of them, and they all have to sort of fit together. That, you know, that's why people have been elected, and that's why people have these job titles that put them in these positions to make these monumental decisions. And along with that, you have to also realize that these leaders at all levels that I just mentioned have never been through anything like this before. So, you know, this is new to them. I do believe, and I know for a fact, Wade is, you know, tireless in his efforts and in his thought process to try and give as many solutions as possible to get this thing going.
There's talk about all sports are talking this way, Mike, playing in a hub city or two, playing without fans. Can you envision that somewhere down the road?
Well, you have to consider every option. And then, I mean, I think that's what you do when these guys brainstorm, is you consider absolutely every option, and then you probably rank them in an order of which is best and which is the worst case scenario. I'll say this, we did play a game in the Big O in front of probably 4,000 fans, so it was like it was in front of nobody. And I made the comment, and probably not too long ago, but I made this comment often, that you could basically hear the lady knitting in the first row from midfield, you know?
Yeah.
So that would not be ideal. But if it gets people playing, I can see in other sports how that's a viable option, and we'll have to see if something like that's viable for the CFL. But right now, you said it, Bob, everything right now is complete speculation.
Yeah. But the thought, though, of no season at all, that's hard to wrap your head around, I'll bet.
It is. I don't think that's the way it's going to shake down. You know, I was reminded of this by my wife tonight as we were coming back from a walk, and that's, you know, they just awarded the 107th Grey Cup. So if you think about the history of Canada and how the CFL has not only survived but thrived through all sorts of adversity for over a century. So this is another one of those events that people look back and talk about, but I have a lot of faith in the CFL and in Canadians and in our, you know, our ability to manage and get things done.
I've always been in that camp, and these are very unique, as we said, times, but I can't imagine anything killing the Canadian Football League. God knows many events in the past have tried to do it, and they just can't do it. It's an institution that's going to be with us forever.
Forever.
Christian O'Mell and Bob Irving, the Bomber Hour. We're here with the head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Mike O'Shea. Mike, have you gone back to rewatch the Grey Cup, and if so, how many times?
Yeah, it's been a couple. I think, you know, early on in this, it was played on TSN a few times, and I happened to catch it. And you know, you always see a few things that you may have missed. I watched, what I paid most attention to, honestly, was the post game, because you get ushered off with the media and you sort of miss that stuff, right? So. And you can't be everywhere, you know, two places at once. So I enjoyed watching that part of it more than anything.
You know, Mike, every team has usually a particular reason or a motivation to start a season. Hamilton, they want to come back and prove that what they did last year wasn't a fluke. And Ottawa's got a new head coach and Paul Lapolice. You guys were coming back with the defending champion, Grey Cup champions. You had not a set roster, but most of your key veteran players were back. Do you feel, and I know you're a positive thinking guy, but do you feel a little bit cheated out of not being able to roll things out there right away?
No, we're still coming back as the defending Grey Cup champions. But I think, like every other team, if your focus is anywhere but winning the 2020 Grey Cup, you're probably not in the right space, the right headspace. So all these other teams that are focused on other things, they'd be mistaken. Just like us, we can't be focused on the fact that we are the defending Grey Cup champions. We got to be focused on becoming the 2020 Grey Cup champions. So, you know, besides the initial gathering when all the players get back, and then the ring, sort of the ring presentation, whenever that'll be. From that point, you know, we got to move on very quickly.
Yeah, I understand that completely. I guess what I think about certain guys like Andrew Harris, who's 33 now, and this would be a chance for him to add to his legacy. Jake Thomas is, you know, he's established himself as one of your key guys now. He doesn't have to worry about whether or not he's coming to camp. And I can list, you know, Willie Jefferson establishing himself as a star, Adam Big Hill wanting to cement his legacy, all those things. And they're still possible. I get that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that you had all these great things going for you, and now they've kind of been interrupted.
Well, we still got them going for us, Bob. I'm not worried about that stuff. I think,
okay,
you know, for I don't know that you carry momentum from one season to the next, just like I don't believe you carry it from one game to the next. And I think for some players, a little bit extra time is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for them. I mean, if you look at Calgary's situation with Bo Levi Mitchell, I'm sure he's, you know, he's itching to probably get back playing, but it's also coming off a surgery or whatever. Anybody who's coming back from surgery, this extra time is quite possibly very positive for them.
So. Yeah, that's true, I suppose. Okay, now, Mike, before we let you go, I haven't seen you since, I'm trying to think, at the parade. I think I saw you at the parade the last time I saw you. What does the beard look like?
Gone.
Really?
Yeah.
It's gone.
Gone.
Totally.
Well, I got a goatee,
and
I've let it go to a point where I get the beard back, and then I get rid of it again. And but
so was that a
Randy Ambrosi says go, this thing will start coming back.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, was that a Grey Cup beard, or what was that last year?
Well, I had it going from training camp on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to change it up, you know. But I'm pretty sure I'll have it back by the time training camp is over.
And you say you don't want to live in the past. I'm all for that. But there's a lot of great memories in the past. And that arrival home and then the parade, Mike, you'll never forget that, will you?
Never. Never forget that. That was that really was like nothing I had been a part of, and I have a few of them. So that was very special, and I can't thank, we as the Bombers can't thank the fans of Winnipeg for everything they did for us, and we miss them too, and I know they miss us, and we'll just keep waiting, and we know we'll be together again soon, I'm sure.
Well, I hope to see you back at IG Field, Mike, sooner rather than later. Thanks for doing this tonight.
Absolutely. I miss you, buddy.
And it's not just me for the first hour of the next couple weeks. Also, back at the studio, it's Bob Irving. How do you like being back on the air, Bob?
Well, it's fine, Christian. I'm quite enjoying it, as a matter of fact. It's always great to talk sports, and in particular, talk football. And we're going to bring in a guy. One of the things we're going to do on these Bomber Hours, Christian, is talk to some of the people who are, quote-unquote, behind the scenes. And Brad Foddy is one of those people. He does most of his work behind the scenes, although if you're at the games, you see Brad on the sidelines all the time. He's the Bombers' equipment manager. Brad, welcome to the show. What does an equipment manager for a pro football team do in a situation like this?
Hey, guys. Well, right now I'm just kind of in a wait-and-see pattern and see what's going to come of all this and when and if we start up and, you know, and then checking in on how anything we have coming up still across from our orders, whether if they're in the country at least, or if they've been delivered, or if they're on their way, or... You know, and just keep in contact with the league and other guys across the league and our major suppliers, to finding out where our stuff is and how they're moving along with their process of fulfilling all our orders.
Yeah, you talk about your orders. What are you talking about? Equipment, Brad?
Yeah, anything from the screws in the helmets to shoelaces, socks, game pants, game jerseys, sideline clothing, players' practice clothing, water bottles, practice gear. Mm-hmm. Trunks, if we order travel bags, anything like that that has been or still needs to be ordered, and waiting to see when everybody gets to go ahead to start doing that.
And normally, this for you would be a crazy time of the year, right? Day three of training camp.
Yeah, it would be, you know, all that stuff would be already. We'd already be, like you said, through rookie camp and then starting day three training camp and getting comfortable into our routines, getting the players comfortable, getting them to where they need to be for practice for the coaches, and then, you know, already starting to get ready to game uniforms with the names and numbers on them for the first exhibition game, even with guys who may get released beforehand. So it's, you know, there is always a process. It was kind of like every year's Groundhog Day, because you had a routine of how everything was done and how many days into camp and all that kind of stuff. You knew what needed to be done and what you were going to do. And now it's everything's just a wait and see pattern.
Okay, here's the important question, Brad Foddy. Your family is used to be you being gone at this time of year from early in the morning till late in the day. How are they dealing with your ongoing presence?
I think they keep asking when I'm starting.
When are you going back to work?
Right, exactly. It's been fun. You know, I mean, since we closed down the offices and that, I've been home with my two daughters, Madison and Brooklyn, and helping them with homeschooling and stuff like that. And, you know, trying to be a teacher, a lunch lady, a janitor, the principal, and a referee between them. It's been an adventure. It's something new, and it's something where, you know, it's a learning process for everybody, and I gain a new respect for teachers. They definitely don't get paid enough, that's for sure.
Indeed.
And then with my wife at her job at clinic, she's been terribly busy with that, so I just try to keep the, you know, fort down and keep everybody together and keep everything going on and getting the kids with helping with their school and doing what we can to keep everything as much normal as possible.
Christian, anything for Brad Foddy?
Well, in terms of keeping everything clean, and we think of the germs, and you read baseball's plan to get back on the field and no one's allowed to spit, and there's a whole list of things. In football, you have a great view, and you know firsthand the equipment and the germs and the dirtiness. How hard would it be for football to kind of make sure there is no big spreading of germs?
Well, and then it's a difficult task, because, you know, we dress, just starting off for water bottles, we dress 46 guys. Each guy would have to have his own water bottle. So each guy, you know, whether they're mouth guard, because some guys have a problem where they, you know, they can't keep it in for too long and they start salivating. There's from that, and guys get hit hard enough, knocks the spit out of them. And, you know, there's a lot to that stuff where, you know, quarterbacks licking their fingers before they get the ball. It's holders on field goal lick their fingers to catch the ball, give a little more grip. So there's saliva and there's fluids everywhere all the time, and it'll be a task to try and keep all that stuff under control. But it's something that will eventually come, and we just have to find a way to do it.
Sure. Brad, you, like everybody else I know, hoping that there's going to be a season. Before we let you go, I want you to put into words what that Grey Cup victory meant to you, because I know it meant as much to you as anybody else in the organization.
Yeah, it was unreal. I still can't. Like, I sat home with the family a few weeks ago and watched the game, and I was nervous the whole game. I couldn't even watch it without getting butterflies and feeling sick to my stomach. But it's unbelievable. I still sometimes can't believe it, because I mean I'd lost five before, so I never knew what it felt like, and then having that feeling was just, it was incredible. I didn't know what to do. Like, you know, when it happened, we won, and you just kind of stand there in awe. You're just trying to soak it. There's so much going on and so much you try to take in, and it was great to have my wife Sandy and two girls there with me to be able to celebrate it with them, my first one, and then watching Osh get doused with the Gatorade, watching Jake Thomas get the cup, watching Andrew get his two awards for, you know, for him, and it's, there's just so much going on. You just try to, and being able to, you know, try to take it all in, and you miss stuff, but it's nice to go back and rewatch it. You sit back now and through this time where you know, if you see a commercial of the game or you see somebody wearing a championship t-shirt or a champion shirt or, you know, the signs in people's front yards where it says Grey Cup champions, you see it and you think back of all the great memories that it took that long to experience it, and you just try to soak up as much as you can and relive as much as you can and enjoy it. Like for right now with this space of time, you just go through and relish all that stuff again.
Sure. Well, they'll be in your memory bank forever, Brad. Hey,
absolutely.
Thanks for doing this tonight, Brad. Appreciate it.
No problem, fellas. Anytime.
Brad Foddy, he's the equipment manager of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And Christian, any pro sports team will tell you that a top-notch equipment manager might not get a lot of publicity, but you better have one.
Well, and I'm down there on the sidelines, and trust me, he's never not doing something down there. He's constantly going, and he doesn't really get to watch the game. He's always busy putting something together, fixing this, doing that, and it's kind of fun to watch, actually. Christian O'Mell with you alongside Bob Irving. And Bob, you've covered football for a long time. Have you been able to take part in any tailgates over the years?
No, as a matter of fact, I haven't. And when I'm done doing the play-by-play, I'm going to be at a tailgate party. I guarantee you that, Christian. Darryl Budnick joins us. He's a super fan, a big Bomber fan, and he's not going to let the tradition of the tailgate party die. Darryl, welcome to the show, and tell us about what your plan is.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, guys. After the article appeared in Ted Wyman's column in the Winnipeg Sun, I had a few responses, people telling me I've got a face for radio, so this probably works better.
Yeah, okay. That was a great article, by the way, and that's where I got the idea, so kudos to Ted Wyman.
Absolutely, yeah. Just, you know, his understanding and patience and putting my thoughts into words, very, very, very much appreciated.
So tell us about your plan.
Okay, so this started as a single tailgate for 10 of our friends to say, we're longtime CFL fans. We want to celebrate our Grey Cup victory that we got cheated out of our celebration. And we wanted to do that, if I can preface right off the bat, the absolute first and foremost thing is the social distancing and protocols in place.
Right.
So if the World Health Organization came out and said, you know what, we're backing up and we'll wait a month, we will follow that first and foremost, if I can preface with that.
Okay.
So this started as a small idea. It has grown. I've got people from all across Canada now that are linked in and wanting more information and, you know, just whatever. They'd love the idea on it. So we want to make sure, again, the social distancing. Just as an example, Saskatchewan, if they, you know, go into that date, if their social distance number is 12, we want them to double count so they don't have a 13th bat on the field.
Good shot. Good shot at Saskatchewan.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of fans of Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah.
And again, this is a chance just for us to get together. I think for too long now, everything has been, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we can, and we can start enjoying life again.
What's your date, Darryl?
The Saturday, June 13th was supposed to be the Bomber season opener in Hamilton at 6 p.m. Saturday.
Right.
Okay, and if we do this right and we have some fun, we'll start our tailgate at 3, and we'll probably close it Sunday evening.
So where are you doing your tailgate?
I actually have in my own backyard I'm going to host. We will have all social distancing, measures in place with it. And our close group, our regular tailgate buddies are all involved. And this thing is spreading like wildfire now. So I would picture my goal in mind from the contacts I've had in 2 days since this has come out. I have a goal of 5,000 individual tailgate groups across Canada.
Wow.
That's the goal we're looking for.
5,000 groups, what, times 10 people?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Christian?
And that's putting it mildly, because how many CFL fans across this great country of ours?
Right.
Yeah.
How many do you have so far?
Right now, as of about 7:38, the last time I checked the phone before you phoned, I'm up to 100 groups registered already.
Boy, that's impressive. And you'd love to see across Winnipeg, you'd love to see people everywhere doing the same thing, right?
Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Yeah.
So just a fun idea. Now, the one goal that we had in mind with this, so, and if you don't mind, I'd like to share this because it's a passion of mine now.
Sure.
Our challenge that would go to each and every tailgate group, register with me online. We'll do the information after. But each and every tailgate group, the challenge is to do their best fundraising. So whether they want to do 50-50 tickets in their own group, whatever ideas they have, 100% of that money goes to their food bank of choice. That is my absolute number one favorite charity now.
So can people get information? Do you have a website online? Where do they find out more, Darryl, about how to get involved in this?
Well, because it started as an idea, the website will be up and running by the weekend. But if they would like to reach out to my email address, it would be daryl dot Budnick, B-U-D-N-I-C-K, 64 at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a blast on June the 13th. I hope you get some nice weather for it. But it's a great idea and a fundraiser on top of celebrating Canadian football. What could be better than that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, we've reached out to the Bombers, CFL. I know they've had. There's a few other things on the plate. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of work together on this a little bit. I know there's lots that have to work on. I'd like to leave you with a final thought, if
sure.
I could, Bob.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I was talking to a friend of mine in Toronto. Okay, and again, this is going across the country. I'm getting responses from everywhere. So she really believes that this whole shutdown of the CFL was a plot by the league to prevent the Bombers from creating their own dynasty.
Oh, okay.
That's our spirit. That's our thought.
Conspiracy. All right. Yeah, we love conspiracies, Daryl.
Yeah.
Hey, Daryl, thanks for joining us tonight, and have fun. Good luck with the project on June 13th.
Thank you very much. And when you, another time, Bob, I'd love to hear the whole story behind the knuckles nickname.
Okay, I'll be happy to tell you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, Daryl Budnick, he's a big Bomber fan. He's having a virtual tailgate party on the 13th of June. You heard his email address, daryl.budnick, B-U-D-N-I-C-K, 64 at gmail.com.
Welcome back to the Bomber Hour. It's part of the Sports Show. Christian O'Mell and Bob Irving with you. And Bob, if I know you well, and I think I do. I know that you're big into working out and lifting weights. And have you ever pulled a semi-truck?
Oh, yeah, I do it every day of the week. I might miss the odd weekend, but no, I've never pulled a semi-truck. And that's going to be one of the topics of our next conversation because Lucky Whitehead, Blue Bomber receiver, joins us from Florida, his off-season home. And what brought this to our attention, Christian, was it's on Twitter. It's a video of Lucky Whitehead hooked up to a harness and pulling a semi-trailer truck. Lucky, good to have you on the show tonight. Tell us what went into – why did you do that?
Thanks for having me. I had originally – was pulling my truck, and a thread had came about on Twitter, and someone came into the thread pulling a box truck, and I commented back and said, "So what do I got to pull an 18-wheeler?" and he comments back to me and says, "If you do that, I'm gonna pull a train." So I got off of Twitter. I called my trainer, and I said, "Yo, you think pulling a semi truck will be hard?" He said, "Yeah, it might be a little hard, but it's not impossible." I was like, "Well, let's do it." He was like, "All right." So I got on Facebook. I made a post asking anyone if they had an 18-wheeler that I could use, but not to drive. So they were kind of curious. It's like, what was I going to do with this 18-wheeler that I don't need, that I need, but I'm not driving? And about an hour later, I found someone with a truck, and they asked me when do I need it and where. So they brought it to me that next day, which was last Thursday. And that's when we just kind of hooked up and just made it happen.
Well, I saw you make it happen. Now, tell me, did you have any doubts? I mean, when you started, did it move right away, or was it, how hard was it?
When the truck first pulled up, I told my trainer, I was like, that truck a little bigger than
you thought.
A little bigger than I pictured in my eyes, yeah. And he was like, "Yeah, don't get them thoughts in your head." I was like, "Well, it's true." But, I mean, I started stretching. I went outside. We kind of hooked it up. And I told him, I said, let me see if I can push the truck first. Because if I can't push it, I'm not even going to try to pull it. And he was like, "All right, cool." So he get it backed up, put it in neutral, and I started pushing. But I felt it moving. So I was like, "Okay, cool. I'm not about to waste my energy. I know I can move it."
Yeah. All right.
I put the harness on, and I got it in front of it, got little words of encouragement from my trainer, people that I was watching. And I just started marching. I leaned forward and just started marching.
And the truck started moving, right?
For the first about 10 seconds maybe, I just felt like I was marching in place. And it was a lady there that was watching me as well. And I heard her make like a little screech. So in my mind, I was like, that wheel must have moved or something because she got excited. So I was like, you can't quit now. You gotta really dig. So I just kind of got a little lower, and I'm just trying to get any kind of grip. I mean, I couldn't really grab the concrete, obviously, with my hand, but I'm just trying to dig. And I got super low, and I could just feel it myself. As I was looking at the ground, I was looking at my feet hit the pavement. It was moving, but it was very slight.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that again, though, are you? Been there, done that?
No. It's not an everyday thing. Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, Lucky, before we're just about out of time. Before we let you go, I know you've been training hard for the coming season. How tough is it to just kind of have to wait and see now?
Extremely. It's extremely tough. I'm eager to get back down there just to, kind of start fresh, but, kind of pick up where we left off and, I'm trying to run it back. And I'm just hoping that, these upcoming weeks we get to hear something, and it's great news. So I'm definitely trying to get back down there with my team.
Yeah. Lucky, thanks for doing this tonight. We really appreciate it, and we hope we'll see you here sometime this summer to get ready for the football season.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Okay. Lucky Whitehead with us from Florida.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.